Now, people of God, would you turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, we're going to take just this 1 week off from the Gospel of John. Psalm 51, in keeping with this beginning of spiritual spring cleaning, this time of examination and evaluation, and will set us up for the message this morning. Psalm 51. I'm just going to read the first six verses. When you get there, or if you're using the screen, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? And at home, or however you're watching, if you would stand with us as you're able also. Psalm 51, beginning at verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray, give thanks to him for it, and pray with and for one another. Indeed, Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that in your perfect wisdom you gave your people in Israel the feasts and worship weeks that called your people to constantly reorient themselves back to you. And after the resurrection of Jesus, you gave through your people the times and seasons in the church calendar that remind us of the gospel, Advent and Jesus' birth, Easter and his resurrection, and this time of Lent, a time for evaluation and reorientation. So we ask, Father, that you would turn our hearts more and more toward you. We are prone to wander. We quickly turn to the right or to the left. We're swayed by the ways of the world and instead of fixed on Jesus. Turn us more toward Jesus, we pray. We also this morning continue to pray for Leanna Hawk. Thank you for carrying her through some really scary moments this past week. And thank you for the incredible improvement she's been showing these last 4 days. We give thanks to you, Father. We still ask boldly, please, Father, would you bring her home to Ron and to her family, and would you grant them peace? Would you grant them strength? Would you grant them courage? Would you grant them healing? And above all, grant them faith. Strengthen their faith in you, we ask. We pray that, Father, for Vicki Bauer, who is recovering from a fall this week. Have mercy, Lord. Help, Lord. Heal, Lord. Strengthen your people, even through these hard things that we endure. And Father, would you heal our hearts through your word this morning? Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. Open our hearts to understand. Cause us, Father, here in your word to know you more, that we might love you better, and so love like you love. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? Ray Bolt, Joshua Harris, Marty Sampson, Ravi Zacharias. These are all people who have shaped our lives, shaped our faith, touched our hearts, influenced our kids. And they're examples of heroes, mentors, prominent faith figures failing, falling. In some cases, they've totally abandoned following Jesus, in the case of at least one of these names, abusing people who trusted them. What do we do when our heroes fall? How do we respond to that? I know many of you were devastated when news of the most recent example began showing up last weekend. And we have all these feelings that we're processing through, don't we? Anger, doubt, confusion, and then all the questions, right? Were these people just frauds? What about all the impact that they had? What about their music and their books and their videos? What does this say about me that I trusted in them? How should we think about these kinds of things? How should we respond when our heroes fall? This morning, I just want to take some time and talk about this at a really high level to just offer some general principles that are going to guide our response when we see our heroes fail and fall. Just general principles this morning, but let me say first, in this most recent case, the case of Ravi Zacharias, if you don't know him or if you've not read the reports or the articles, actually, I strongly encourage you not to. It's horrible. It's graphic. It's devastating. God have mercy on his family and especially on his victims. There were things done in the name of Jesus that are offensive to the name of Jesus. But today I want to stay as much as possible largely general, because this isn't the first time that we've seen prominent Christian leaders in scandal, and it won't be the last. This is going to happen again. And so I want to take time this morning to talk about how ought we think about that, how ought we respond when we see news of our heroes falling. What do we do when our heroes fall? I offer you this morning three responses. When our heroes fall, that failure, that falling, that scandal, it's a call to each of us, a call to examine, pray, to discern. When our heroes fall, it's a call, a reminder to examine, to pray, to discern. First this morning, after that initial reaction, after you first hear the news and you're processing through all of the emotions, anger, the sadness, sometimes we feel guilt, don't we? After that initial reaction, I think God means for us then to examine ourselves. When our heroes fall, when we learn of them leaving the faith or hear of moral failure or learn of these dark patterns of sin, when our heroes fall, I think one of the first things God calls us to do in response is actually to take a good hard look at ourselves. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to his young disciple Timothy, he's given his young disciple advice, pastoral advice, counsel for the young minister. And as the Apostle Paul is wrapping up his letter, he writes this: watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Look, friends, you don't become an addict overnight. You don't wake up one morning and just decide you're going to leave Jesus. You don't become an abuser overnight. It's the product of years and years and years of habits, rituals, rhythms. The way that you think, the thoughts that you entertain, the things that you watch, the stuff that you read, your pattern of thinking, your habits, the ways that you relate to others. Right? And look, all of us here have some habits that are shaping our hearts toward Jesus. And all of us here have habits that are shaping us away from Jesus. You see, following Jesus in part means cultivating these habits, nourishing them, feeding them, growing them, these habits that shape us toward Jesus, and then pruning away those habits that shape us away from Jesus. This is what it means to watch our lives and doctrine closely. It means pay careful attention to them. It means constantly evaluate our lives. What habits are shaping me away from Jesus? What do I need to cut out of my life? To constantly evaluate our doctrine. What is it that I'm believing about God and myself and the world around me that's not true? Where am I allowing the philosophies and counter-truth claims of this world to compete with God's word in my heart and in my mind? Watch your life and doctrine closely means pay careful attention to them. Be vigilant. Be intentional and diligent. You see, friend, Satan is crafty. And he hates Jesus, and he hates Jesus' people. The world out there, she's a seductress that's seeking to tempt us away from following Jesus. And then there's our own sinful nature, powerful within us. We have to stay diligent, vigilant, watch our lives, watch our doctrine closely. When your heroes fall, when you hear of somebody leaving the faith, giving up Jesus, when a secret life of sin is exposed, it's a call, it's a warning, it's a reminder. I'm prone to the same things. We're all prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, we sing. It's a call to examine our hearts and our lives and our habits and our rituals and our rhythms. Where, even right now today, am I practicing things that are leading me toward that same path? Moms and dads, this is a call to look at your family's rhythms. And how you spend your time, how you spend your money, how you spend your vacations. What are the things you talk about? What you do day in and day out, it's shaping your heart and it's shaping the hearts of your kids, either toward Jesus or away from Jesus. This is the call to examine. I think it's a call also to examine our protective structures. And do you have people in your life who are watching over you? Do you have people in your life that are asking you really hard questions about life and faith? People with whom you can share your own struggle? People who challenge you? You can't do this alone, friends. We need each other. It's a call to examine ourselves. It's a call to examine our structures. Again, this season of Lent, it's so helpful here. Spiritual spring cleaning, right? Get a good devotional guide. Use the stuff from Biola. Get a journal and spend time praying, reflecting, evaluating. Examine yourselves. Examine your structures. And some of you here are already in pretty deep. You've got that secret life. You have that struggle that's winning. You're already addicted. Friend, you got to get help. Don't wait until the end for your family to find out. That happened in my family. A family member died. And after he died, the rest of his family started finding out the secrets. It's so much worse. Please don't do that. I know it's hard to get help now. It's hard to have those conversations now. It's hard to be honest now. But it's so much better than waiting and your family finding out later. That's all part of the examine here. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Examine yourself. Examine your structures. Get people in your life who you trust, who can help watch over you. Ask you the hard questions. Get the help that you need. When our heroes fall, it's a call to examine. It's also a call to pray. When our heroes fall, it's a reminder to examine ourselves, and it's a reminder to pray. When our Lord Jesus was teaching his disciples to pray, we call this the Lord's Prayer. Part of that prayer goes like this: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When Jesus teaches his disciples on earth to pray, he tells them to pray that God would keep them from temptation and that God would deliver them from evil. Why do you think this is what Jesus teaches them to pray? Why is this part of that prayer that he gives to his disciples? Why is he teaching them to pray, God, keep us from temptation and keep us from evil or the evil one? I think part of the reason is Jesus knows our sinful nature. He knows in us that each of us are prone to wander. He knows how powerful the world and the enemy and our own sinful nature are. He knows that if we are left to ourselves, we'll never make it. We can't do this on our own. God has to keep us. God has to preserve us. God has to sustain us. We cannot do this on our own, in our own strength. But that's actually the point. See? We can't save ourselves. We can't rescue ourselves. We're not strong enough. We're not smart enough. We're not rich enough. We're not anything enough. God alone saves us through Jesus Christ, and we depend on him entirely. Right? Notice, it's not that we depend on Jesus to start everything, right? Jesus just gets the ball rolling for us and then kind of leaves us to finish on our own. It doesn't work like that, friends. It's all Jesus, all the way, from start to finish. From the beginning of our relationship with him, we didn't love him, he loved us. We didn't pursue him, he pursued us. A relationship with God began with God, and it ends with God. He's the beginning, he's the end, he's the starter, he's the finisher. He called us first, and he will see us to the end. We depend on him. You see, prayer is this habit, this rhythm that reminds us that we depend on God. So when our heroes fall, look, I don't want that to happen to me. You don't want that to happen to you. It's a call to prayer. Pray that God would keep you to the end. Pray for God to preserve you with his power and with his grace. And when our heroes fall, it's a call to prayer for ourselves. It's a call to pray for our family, to pray for our friends, to pray for your pastors and your elders, to pray for your missionaries, to pray for your heroes and other public faith figures. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When our heroes fall, it's a call to prayer. When our heroes fall, when our heroes and mentors and prominent faith figures fall and fail, it's a reminder to examine ourselves and our structures to get help. It's a reminder to pray. And it's a reminder to discern. To discern. In the church in the ancient city of Philippi, Paul had visited that city. He shared the gospel. He started the church that was in Philippi, the Philippian church. But then the Apostle Paul left. He went to go plant another church. That was what he did. And other teachers came in, and they were sharing the gospel too. This was pretty normal in the early years of the church. Someone comes in and plants the church, and other leaders come in after. But strangely, in this case, in Philippi, it seems many of these new preachers actually didn't care about the gospel of Jesus. They just wanted to make the Apostle Paul look bad. That's weird, right? But that's what the Apostle Paul says in this first chapter of Philippians. He writes this, "Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. Now the latter do it out of love, knowing that I'm put here," he was in prison while writing the letter, "knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment." What then? "Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice." Generally speaking, there's this reminder here that all truth is God's truth, right? Regardless of the mouth or the motives from which it comes, all truth is God's truth, regardless of the mouth or the motives from which it comes. God has gifted every human being. And we can celebrate those gifts and their contributions to our world and to life and to humanity, even if those people don't follow Jesus or love Jesus. Even if what they do just to get rich or powerful or maybe even out of spite. All truth is God's truth, regardless of the mouth or the motives from which that truth comes. Well, that means then, as followers of Jesus, as followers of the true God, of true truth, that means we're called to discern truth. We don't reject truth claims simply because they come from the mouth or the pen or the computer of someone who doesn't follow Jesus or someone who lives an immoral lifestyle. Our call is to discern the truth. We benefit and learn from the great writers and artists and composers of history, even though many of them were immoral or greedy or drunkards or all of that. All truth is God's truth, regardless of the mouth or the motives from which it comes. And that's a call for discernment, isn't it? We got to discern, we got to evaluate, we got to test the things that we read and hear. Does it agree with God's word and what God says is good and right and noble and beautiful? This is part of evaluating our lives and habits. Look, friends, as followers of Jesus, we can't just sit down and watch TV and movies and read stories and shut our brains off. We got to be discerning, right? What am I being sold here? What am I being taught here? What am I learning to love here? What's true and right and good here? And what isn't? You see, when our heroes fall, now we're left with these songs and books and videos. What do we do with those? We got to be discerning. We can hold to the truth that is in those songs and lectures and books while also naming the failure of those who wrote or sung those things. We also have to be really discerning about with whom we now share those things. Not everyone has your maturity and discernment. You got to be careful when you share those songs or recordings or books. How will that recipient receive them once they know of the author's or writer's failure? It calls for wisdom and discernment. It's hard. But the Spirit will lead us if we seek Him. We must discern truth. We must also discern salvation. One of the things that happens when our heroes fall, one of the questions we ask has to do with the people that are so impacted by their ministries, right? People came to faith through those concerts and lectures and sermons. People came through incredibly hard seasons of their life. Their faith was strengthened because of these women and men who have now fallen so far. What do we do with that? Here, friend, we have to discern God's salvation. Especially if that was you and God brought you through a hard time or brought you to faith through one of these folks. Look what the Apostle Paul says. I rejoice because Christ was proclaimed. Your salvation is not in that singer. Your hope is not in that writer or author. These people were simply the means by which God used to draw you to himself. And when your heroes fall, discern your salvation. Your salvation was not in your hero, but in the good news of Jesus Christ. And that good news is still true. That good news still saves. That good news still stands, even though our heroes fall. So we discern truth and we discern salvation. And we have to discern Christ. This is a call, friends, to maybe hold our heroes a little more loosely. Now look, don't mishear me. I didn't say don't have heroes. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Of course, we need pastors. We need teachers. We need elders. We need women and men to disciple us, to mentor us, to model faith for us. We need faith heroes in our lives. We need them. But they are not the Christ. They are not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Your heroes aren't Jesus. And so we got to be discerning proper balance and perspective. We got to keep Jesus alone on the throne of our hearts, at the center of our hearts. Keep our mentors, our heroes, our disciples in their rightful place as friends, as guides, as examples, but not as Christ. When our heroes fall, it's an opportunity to go through our lives and see, have we placed anyone on that throne that belongs to Jesus Christ alone? Have we elevated someone too high in our hearts? See, this is the time to reevaluate, to rebalance, to recenter our lives on Jesus Christ alone. When our heroes fall, it's a call to discern. Discern truth, discern salvation, discern Christ Jesus. Examine, pray, discern. Look, friends, it's crushing when people that we've looked up to, people that we have loved, it's devastating when we learn they have a secret life of sin. It's crushing when we hear they've abandoned the faith and turned away from Jesus. It feels unbearable when we hear stories of our heroes failing and falling. This last week for many of us was really hard. But it's also a mercy from God. It's God's mercy to us as a warning, as a call, as a reminder. Call to faithful endurance. A call to examine our lives and structures. Watch your life and doctrine closely. It's a call to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. And it's a call to discern. May Christ alone be proclaimed, and may he alone rule in our hearts. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we do pray this morning for the family of Ravi Zacharias. As many of them, no doubt, are learning through this process. The same things that we have been. We pray, Father, for the victims of his abuse, that you would have mercy, Lord Jesus. We pray for those, Lord, who came to faith or were strengthened in their faith through his ministry. Lord God, preserve your work that you have begun in your people and see it to completion. We pray for ourselves. Lead us not into temptation. You have brought us this far, Father, by your Holy Spirit. Would you preserve us that we might not fall into sin, nor be overcome by adversity? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As we come to your table, would you strengthen our faith that we might persevere until the end? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.